The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jackie Marino for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Nutrition News. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Can supplements cut bad cholesterol? By Caitlin Dow. Lowering LDL or bad cholesterol can curb your risk of heart disease. If a heart-healthy diet doesn't work, prescription drugs can slash LDL. Do over-the-counter supplements work also? Optimal LDL is below 100 milligrams per deciliter. If you already have heart disease, the goal is to get it under 70 milligrams per deciliter. At the other end, an LDL of 160 or more is a signal that we need to get it down, says Michael Miller, a cardiologist at Penn Medicine. What if your LDL falls between 100 and 159? It depends on your risk of a heart attack or stroke, says Miller. And that risk reflects your age, gender, blood pressure, and more. Let's say you're a 58-year-old woman, a former smoker. You have high blood pressure, but it's being treated. You don't have diabetes, and your LDL puts your 10-year risk of heart attack or stroke between 5 and 10%. At 10%, we might treat you with a statin. At less than 5%, we definitely wouldn't. You can calculate your risk at tools.acc.org/ASCVD-risk-estimator-plus. Why a statin? Depending on the type and dose, statins lower LDL by 25 to 60%, says Miller. Few medications in the history of medicine have been tested so extensively, he adds. Yet, despite their very good safety profile, a lot of people are very fearful of taking statins. The most commonly reported side effect is muscle achiness, says Miller. Muscle aches occur in 1 in 100 statin takers when trials compare their complaints to those of placebo takers. The most problematic is rhabdomyolysis, he says. The muscle tissue breaks down, which can lead to kidney failure. Rhabdomyolysis strikes in 1 in every 10,000 statin takers. And statins don't work for 5 to 10% of people, Miller notes. If that's you, or if you don't want to take prescription drugs or don't need to lower your LDL much, some supplements may offer modest help. That said, supplements are not regulated by the FDA like pharmaceuticals, cautions Miller. So you can't be sure about their purity or potency. Here's the evidence on the most widely studied supplements. Red yeast rice. The major active ingredient in red yeast rice, manosolin K, is chemically identical to the drug lovastatin. Studies show about a 20% drop in LDL with red yeast rice, says Miller. In one review of 13 trials, taking 1,200 to 3,600 milligrams a day of red yeast rice, which contained 4.8 to 24 milligrams of monosolin K, slashed LDL by 40 milligrams per deciliter, more than a placebo. Just don't expect the same bang from the red yeast rice you buy off the shelf. Researchers found that only 6 of 28 store brands had at least 4 milligrams of monosolin K per dose. None of the supplements listed monosolin K levels. That's because they couldn't. If they did, the FDA would treat them as unapproved drugs. What's more, if you're worried about the safety of statins, worry more about red yeast rice. The FDA has logged hundreds of unconfirmed adverse events, including muscle aches and rhabdomyolysis, in red yeast rice takers. And ConsumerLab.com found citrulline, a toxin that may cause kidney damage, in 3 of the 10 red yeast rice supplements it tested in 2022. To find out which ones, you need a Consumer Lab membership. Bottom line, a generic prescription statin provides a consistent dose with no potential toxin, and it often costs less than red yeast rice. Psyllium. I don't hesitate to recommend psyllium to my patients, says Miller. The soluble fiber that's found in supplements like Metamucil binds to cholesterol in the gut so the cholesterol isn't absorbed, he adds. You can get about a 5 to 10% reduction in LDL. In an analysis of 28 trials, LDL dropped by 13 milligrams per deciliter in people who took an average of 10 grams of psyllium a day for 3 to 52 weeks compared to those who took a placebo. That's what you'd get in 3 rounded teaspoons of Metamucil powder. You'd need 20 Metamucil capsules to get the 7 grams a day that the FDA requires for a may reduce the risk of heart disease claim. It's often in tiny print. Metamucil fiber thin crackers have too little psyllium. Its gummies have none. Heads up, psyllium also works as a laxative, so introduce it slowly. Phytosterols. Phytosterols occur naturally in plants and are added to buttery spreads like Benecol. They're structurally similar to cholesterol, so they block some cholesterol from being absorbed in the gut. In an industry-funded analysis of 124 studies, getting 2 to 3.5 grams of phytosterols a day, mostly from foods with added phytosterols, lowered LDL by 8 to 12%. The FDA allows food and supplements with at least 0.4 grams of phytosterols consumed twice a day with meals to claim that they may lower the risk of heart disease. Benecol's chews and buttery spreads both fit the bill. Berberine. Berberine is a compound found in plants like golden seal, barberry, and Oregon grape. In 14 trials in people who took 900 to 1,500 milligrams a day of berberine for 1 to 6 months, LDL dropped by 18 milligrams per deciliter, more than those who took a placebo. No serious risks have been reported, though berberine may cause constipation, diarrhea, or nausea. When researchers tested 15 berberine supplements they bought online, 9 had different levels than the bottle declared. On average, they had only 75% of what the label promised. High-dose niacin. Though niacin is usually taken to boost HDL or good cholesterol, a daily dose of 500 to 3,000 milligrams, either alone or in addition to a statin, can lower LDL and triglycerides. However, in clinical trials, the B vitamin failed to lower the risk of heart attack, stroke, or dying early. What's more, high doses can cause unpleasant, though not dangerous, flushing, burning, tingling, and itching. And high-dose niacin is linked to an increased risk of high blood sugar, atrial fibrillation, gout, and liver problems that can range from elevated blood levels of liver enzymes to acute liver failure. Skip it. Quick studies, a snapshot of the latest research on diet, exercise, and more. Ozempic curbs the risk of kidney failure. Type 2 diabetes can lead to kidney failure. Can semaglutide or Ozempic help? Researchers randomly assigned 3,533 people with type 2 diabetes and high-risk chronic kidney disease to take either 1 milligram of semaglutide or a placebo each week. The study was funded by Novo Nordisk, which makes Ozempic. After roughly 3.5 years, the semaglutide takers had a 24% lower risk of major kidney disease events, kidney failure, a 50% drop in kidney function, or death from kidney or cardiovascular causes. The trial was stopped early when the benefits became clear. What to do? Talk to your doctor about semaglutide if you have type 2 diabetes and poor kidney function despite taking kidney medication. Fish oil for dry eye? In an industry-funded clinical trial, 115 people with dry eye who were randomly assigned to take fish oil, 1,680 milligrams of EPA plus, 560 milligrams of DHA, every day for 12 weeks, had no fewer symptoms than those who took a placebo. What to do? Don't rely on fish oil to ease symptoms of dry eye. Fish oil also came up empty in a larger, longer trial on dry eye. Aspirin and breast cancer. A daily aspirin failed to improve cancer-free survival in people with high-risk breast cancer, but no metastases. Scientists randomly assigned 3,004 women and 16 men aged 18 to 69 to take either a daily aspirin, 300 milligrams, or a placebo. Most had been diagnosed with breast cancer that had spread to their local lymph nodes, but no further. People with larger hormone-negative tumors that hadn't spread to lymph nodes were also included. The trial was stopped early, after roughly 3 years, when it became clear that the aspirin takers had no lower risk of breast cancer recurrence or survival. The aspirin takers actually did worse, but the difference wasn't quite statistically significant. What to do? Don't expect a daily aspirin to lower your risk of breast cancer recurring or spreading. Krill oil for arthritis pain? Krill are tiny crustaceans that serve as a major source of food for many fish, whales, seals, and penguins. Can krill oil curb knee pain due to osteoarthritis? Researchers randomly assigned 262 people with knee pain and osteoarthritis to take krill oil, 2 grams a day, supplying 380 milligrams of EPA and 200 milligrams of DHA, or a placebo. After 24 weeks, the krill oil takers had no less knee pain than the placebo takers, nor did krill oil curb C-reactive protein, a measure of inflammation. What to do? Don't take krill oil to curb arthritis pain. Exercise, NSAID gels or creams, and corticosteroid injections may help. Take the stairs. Walking up and down stairs after eating may boost your insulin's ability to move blood sugar into cells. Scientists had 31 young adults walk up and down stairs at their own pace, 1, 3, or 10 minutes immediately after eating a meal. Compared to staying seated, insulin sensitivity over the next half hour improved after 3 or 10 minutes, but not 1 minute, of stair walking. What to do? Get moving. A single bout of exercise boosts insulin sensitivity. Stair climbing is a more intense activity than walking, but may not feel like it. Some prostate cancers can wait. Keeping tabs on low-risk prostate cancer can be a safe approach. Researchers managed 2,155 men with very low or low-risk cancer, mostly grade group 1, with active surveillance, repeated biopsies, and PSA tests. 10 years after diagnosis, 40% had been treated, usually after late biopsies found higher-risk cancer, while 49% remained untreated. Only 1.4% developed metastasis, and 0.1% died of the disease. What to do? If your prostate cancer is grade group 1, consider active surveillance. Is processing to blame? Does ultra-processing make foods harmful? Scientists tracked roughly 74,600 women and 39,500 men for some 30 years. Those who ate the most ultra-processed foods, typically 7.5 servings a day, had a 4% higher risk of dying of any cause than those who ate the least, typically 3 servings a day. However, ultra-processed foods were not linked to a higher risk of dying of cancer or cardiovascular disease. When the researchers looked at categories of ultra-processed foods, sugary or diet drinks, breads and breakfast foods, dairy desserts, and ready-to-eat meats, poultry, or seafood were linked to modest, 3 to 13%, higher risks of dying of any cause. What's more, the 4% higher risk of dying disappeared once the researchers accounted for the healthfulness of the participants' overall diets. What to do? Cut back on unhealthy ultra-processed foods like processed meats and sugary drinks. This kind of study can't prove cause and effect, but it suggests that it's too early to know how much ultra-processing itself matters. Is xylitol safe? Cleveland Clinic researchers found higher amounts of the sugar alcohol xylitol are associated with increased risk of cardiovascular events like heart attack and stroke, said the clinic's new release in June. However, the study itself argues that the link was due to how much xylitol the participants' body produced and excreted, not to how much they ate. In test tubes, platelets and blood samples from 10 people who were given a high dose, 30 grams, of xylitol were more likely to clump together when stimulated. What to do? It's not clear if what happens in test tubes also happens in people. Diddle for erythritol. But xylitol is mostly in sugar-free mints or gums, so unless you add it to food, you aren't getting much. And now a recipe from the healthy cook, Kate Sherwood, roasting right. Roasting brings out the best in vegetables. The secret formula? Oil, direct contact with the pan, and high heat. That caramelizes the small amount of natural sugar in the veggies for a complex, satisfying taste. Roasted cauliflower and green olive tapenade. For this tapenade, I prefer a mild green olive like Castelvetrano. It complements the cauliflower and whitefish perfectly. One large head cauliflower cut into wedges, 2 tablespoons plus 2 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil, 1/4 cup minced green olives, 1/4 cup minced flat leaf parsley or cilantro, 1 tablespoon minced capers, 1 pinch dried oregano, 1/2 teaspoon lemon zest, 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice. Adjust an oven rack to the lowest position. Preheat the oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. On a large rimmed baking pan, brush the flat sides of the cauliflower with 2 tablespoons oil. Roast until browned on the bottom, about 15 minutes. Turn over and roast until tender, 5 to 7 minutes. Make the tapenade. In a small bowl, whisk together the remaining ingredients. Drizzle 2 tablespoons over the cauliflower. Save the rest for another use. Serves 4. Next up, roasted whitefish. Ingredients: 4 6-ounce skinless whitefish fillets, tilapia, haddock, hock, or another firm whitefish, 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon ground coriander, 1/2 teaspoon paprika, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/8 teaspoon freshly ground black pepper, 1/2 lemon cut into wedges. Preheat the oven to 425. Pat the fish dry with a paper towel. Lay the fish on a medium baking pan and drizzle with the oil. In a small bowl, mix together the coriander, paprika, salt, and pepper, then sprinkle onto the fish. Roast until the layers of the fish easily slip apart when gently poked with a fork or paring knife, 7 to 12 minutes, depending on the thickness of the fillets. Serve with the lemon wedges. Tofu Tonight, 6 picks that leap from package to plate, by Lindsay Moyer. These ready-to-eat protein-rich packets of soy come in their own sauce, instantly jazz up a stir-fry, grain bowl, or salad, don't top 410 milligrams of sodium in 3 ounces, and are delish. Hodo knows tofu. Our taste testers' hands-down favorite all had one thing in common, Hodo. The company sure knows its tofu and how to dress it with savory, well-seasoned sauces that rival homemade. You can't go wrong with Hodo Organic Miso Tofu, red miso paste, tamari, garlic, ginger puree, and less than 1 gram of brown sugar per serving. Or try another winner, Hodo Organic Indian Spice Tofu and its punchy garam masala sauce with sides of brown rice and cauliflower. Light and lemony. Most ready-to-eat tofus come with Asian flavors like miso or teriyaki, but Whole Foods 365 Lemon Pepper Tofu Bites break the mold. They're lightly seasoned with lemon peel, black pepper and onion, garlic and ginger powders, plus a dash of salt, just 120 milligrams of sodium per serving. Barbecue done right. Simple Truth Organic Sweet Barbecue Baked Tofu is sold at Harris Teeter, Ralph's, and Kroger's other chains. Not at your store? Nasoya plant-inspired tofu-baked sweet barbecue is nearly identical. Neither overdoes the added sugar, 3 grams. Try some in summery green salad with corn, scallions, and black beans. Plant-spiration. Tofu giant Nasoya turns plant protein into healthy fast food with its plant-inspired tofu-baked. Each 7-ounce package of sesame ginger, teriyaki, or sweet barbecue holds 2 3.5-ounces of slabs of tofu, perfect for dinner for two. The sesame ginger is modest in sodium, 340 milligrams per 3.5-ounce serving, and added sugar, 2 grams. And, since we're talking tofu, it delivers a nice dose of protein, 17 grams, iron, 15% of a day's worth, and calcium, 8%, for just 180 calories. Zip Zip Hooray! If subtly seasoned lemon pepper or sesame ginger isn't your jam, Trader Joe's sriracha-flavored baked tofu takes things up a notch. Its chili garlic sauce is spicy but not fiery hot, so even mild heat seekers can enjoy. The Zip makes sriracha marinated tofu a natural fit for a chilled noodle salad with fresh herbs or for stir-frying with a bag of Joe's pre-washed fresh stir-fried veggie blend, broccoli, Napa cabbage, bok choy, and snow peas. Tofu meets nuggets. What's a tofu nugget? Hodos are simply tofu that's been cut into bite-sized pieces, lightly fried, and braised in a yummy sauce. Like baked tofu, you can enjoy nuggets hot or cold. Hodo's Thai curry variety, with flavorful coriander, turmeric, chili flakes, cumin, and lemongrass, is pure gold. Quick dish, Mushu veggies. Whisk together 2 teaspoons reduced sodium soy sauce, 1 teaspoon hoisin, and 1/2 teaspoon toasted sesame oil. Heat a large wok or pan over high heat. Add 1 tablespoon neutral oil. Stir-fry 6 cups julienne vegetables, cabbage, carrots, celery, bell pepper, scallions, until tender crisp. Drizzle with the soy mixture. Stir-fry to combine. Serves 4. Quick studies, another snapshot of the latest research on diet, exercise, and more. Viagra for the brain? Viagra may help reduce Alzheimer's risk, according to a new study, reported Fortune.com in February. Really? UK scientists examined the health records of 269,725 men aged 40 or older who had a new diagnosis of erectile dysfunction. After an average of 5 years, those who got prescriptions for Viagra, sildenafil, or similar drugs had an 18% lower risk of newly diagnosed Alzheimer's disease than those who got none. The risk was roughly 40% lower in those who got more than 20 prescriptions during the 5 years. However, those lower risks disappeared when researchers excluded men who were diagnosed with Alzheimer's within the first 3 years. Since Alzheimer's often starts years before it's diagnosed, something else about the men who already had the disease could have made them less likely to get a prescription. As one of the study's authors told Fortune.com, an association does not mean a causal or causal effect. What to do? This study doesn't provide good evidence that drugs like Viagra can help prevent Alzheimer's. Ultra-processed foods and cancer. Or not? Do ultra-processed foods raise the risk of some cancers, as a few studies report? Researchers tracked 450,111 Europeans for 14 years. A 10% higher intake of ultra-processed foods was linked to about a 23% higher risk of head or neck cancer or adenocarcinoma of the esophagus. Excess weight explained some of the link. However, people who consumed the most ultra-processed foods also had a higher risk of accidental death due to falls, car crashes, drowning, etc. Since ultra-processed foods can't cause accidental deaths, that suggests that something else about people who load up on ultra-processed foods helps explain their higher cancer risk. What to do? Until we know more, fill half your plate with whole fruits and vegetables and the rest with beans, whole grains, nuts, fish, poultry, or dairy. Milk and pea proteins face off. Worried that plant proteins may not build as much muscle as animal proteins? Researchers randomly assigned 24 young men to consume 30 grams of either pea protein or milk protein. The study was partly funded by Cargill, Kellogg, and other food companies. Over the next 5 hours, both groups built equal amounts of muscle protein. What to do? Don't worry that plant protein builds muscle less efficiently than animal protein. For most Americans, the key to building muscle is strength training, not eating more protein. A note from the president for Center for Public Interest, Peter G. Lorre. Protecting our planet. At the Center for Science and the Public Interest, Nutrition Action's publisher, our advocacy work is focused broadly on diet and health. With the climate crisis looming, it would be short-sighted to not also consider the impact of food on our planet. Globally, food systems account for approximately 25% of our greenhouse gas emissions, 70% of our freshwater use, and 40% of our cropland. Agriculture is also a primary cause of fertilizer pollution. Yet, the U.S. food system wastes an estimated 30 to 40% of the food we produce. And as the world warms, droughts, floods, heat, and hurricanes will damage crops and raise costs. We need a sustainable, efficient, and resilient food system that can better withstand fires, flooding, extreme temperatures, and other impacts of climate change. As a nation, we need to reduce waste from the farm to the dining room table. And we need packaging that is environmentally friendly and safe. Finally, we need to promote healthy foods like vegetables, fruits, beans, whole grains, and nuts. A plant-based diet can help curb greenhouse gas emissions, reduce fertilizer pollution, and use less water and land than a meat-based diet. To further those goals, CSPI has launched a Food and Environment Initiative. Our vision? An equitable food system that ethically produces healthy, affordable, and culturally appropriate food while preserving and regenerating the ecosystem for all. For years, CSPI has worked to get healthier foods and beverages into schools, parks, government buildings, and other public places. We aim to build on that success by pressing for changes that also sustain the earth. For example, school meals. We'll make school meals more sustainable by fighting for plant-based offerings and trimming food waste. Restaurants. We'll urge restaurants to offer meals for both kids and adults that protect the planet's and their patrons' health. And we'll press restaurants to make it easy for consumers to identify those options. Finally, water access and water security. We'll push for all Americans to have clean, safe, appealing, and reliable tap water. And that's just the start. Stay tuned as we dive into this crucial new initiative. We've run out of time for today's episode of Nutrition News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jackie Marino, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired and is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.